In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
London, Japan, and I'm straight off the block. Like a running back, get it, man, I'm straight off the block. I could run it back, nigga, cause I'm straight with the rock.
If you feeling like a pimp, nigga, gon' push your shoulders off.
Like, matters is what you like, not what you are like. Books, records, films, these things matter.
You guys, welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan. How are we doing out there? We've almost made it through the entirety of the week going into a 4th of July holiday. What a great time to celebrate America, isn't it? Hey, let's do some real talk. I just did a Patreon live. Thanks to all the baddies. You know what? It's a lot of fun. I think sometimes I do these lives and I realize all of the people that are in my Patreon might be funnier than I am. Like, I almost feel like I don't even need to be there. Like, I was like, there's a whole thing happening where it's just, it's very funny. Come join us. And thank you to all the people that just joined this week. Let us know. The new part two of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip for the second episode recap will be out this weekend for you. And we'll be doing the whole Ultimate Girls Trip. I'll be solo recapping that over there. And good times are had by all. So, let me be honest with you guys. The last couple of days have been tough for me just by existing. You know, the plight of the male. No, I got COVID again. Okay, I'm just leaving time for a laugh break. The last time I got COVID, by the way, people in my Patreon chat were like, oh, is this your fourth time? No, it's my second time. How dare you? And listen, I'm anti-vax, so no, I've been vaccinated, I've been boosted, the whole deal. And I think I'm going with that's why this has not been as bad as the first time, which was just gut-wrenching, horrible, and it started my year off the worst. And my whole family got it, remember? Christmas, a year and a half ago? So I believe Countess Luann gave this to me at the Countess Luann concert. Luckily, though, everybody that I have been in contact with since Thursday of last week, nobody has it. So, I mean, I didn't contact everybody at the Luann show. I think there's only a couple, you know, probably a couple hundred there, so it would take a sec. But I don't think anybody's... Has Luann complained about COVID at all in the last couple of days? No. So, I got the old vid, and it's a bummer. A bummer on so many levels. I feel also idiotic that I'm going around acting like everything's still totally like, hey, everything's totally cool. I try to wear my mask. I try to do all those things, but I've got to be more vigilant. And I pray to God this doesn't get any worse. I'm just kind of sweaty and I've got a sick headache. So pretty much par for course, this is what a normal week is like for me. No, I've been isolating since Monday and it just sucks because it just sucks. I had some plans and can't do any of that, but we're going to be safe. We're going to isolate. There's nothing else, but just be safe out there. Remember this 4th of July holiday, just try to be as safe as you can. This thing is still out there and it seems like it's every time you think it's gone, it comes back with a vengeance. And, but it doesn't stop us. It doesn't stop our job. I have been working through this as much as I just want to sleep. I have been working. I'm so proud of what we do here. So I am full steam ahead. Tomorrow morning, you guys, so much so that at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be on Up and Adam Live, which is on YouTube. He has a huge YouTube channel. We're going to be talking about tonight's Beverly Hills episode, which I thought had some really interesting moments. So we'll watch that. We'll talk about that on YouTube. And remember, we have our YouTube up as well. The Southern Charm recap is on. Sorry, it's on over there. Pardon me if I have some brain farts in the middle of this today. Every time I try to reach for a thought, sometimes it is not there. We'll do a couple news items today, and then we'll get to our guests. Thankfully, I have amazing guests, and I was able to do this interview. I had such a fun time. It made me forget I had COVID, and they are just the best. You guys know Comments by Celebs, the podcast and the Instagram account, the overall brand. I think these guys are going to be bigger than the Kardashians one day. I truly do. They are just, so we have Emma and we have Julie. Isabel also does the Comments by Bravo pod, and she, you know, but we talked to her a year ago with Emma, but I finally got to meet Julie. And, you know, they just it's I love these things where like they appreciate pop culture and they have this good angle to it, too, where I think it's not just funny. It's like, I don't know. It I think it's a love letter sometimes to pop culture, what they do, but they kind of have that nice little twist where they take us into the modern era by showing us the comments these people, leave on other celebrities' pages on Instagram and stuff. But their podcast is excellent, and it talks about all the stuff we do over here. In fact, I tell them at the end, I was like, shit, nobody even needs to listen to this because they do a couple episodes a week and they're just so great. And I got so sad at the end because I was like, damn it, it's going to probably be another year until I talk to you guys again. Like, that's the thing. I feel like sometimes the life of a podcaster is this weirdly lonely existence unless you do a podcast duo or a trio with somebody, and then it's like kind of like a little family. Like, I have all you guys as a family, but sometimes you're faceless individuals. I know your names, but I sometimes don't know your faces. And it's brain fog, you guys. No, I'm just saying it's sometimes weird to do this by yourself, and you talk to people that you really like, and then you're like, oh, I don't get to talk to you next week, do I? Like, you know, you're like, oh man, I have so much more I want to talk to you about. And that's kind of how I felt at the end of this. So anyways, comments, it's a great interview. You're going to love it. I swear to God, I'm not as brain farty as I am right now in this interview. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Like I said, did the YouTube, did the Patreon, leave a positive review. Do it for me. Do it for me in my COVID. Please. Diana Jenkins goes, please leave him 5-star review, please. So, please leave me a 5-star review. I'll say, please, come on, leave it for good old Ryan. Go Ryan, leave a Spotify review. Which so pisses me off. Sutton was doing a pride thing at her store, I think, tomorrow, and now I can't go because of stupid COVID, and I was going to, like, finally try to meet Sutton. But in reality, I'm kind of happy because you got like, I'm a big loud talker on this, but in real life I get really shy and I try to hide from people. So like, in a sense, I'm kind of like, well, that actually kind of saves me, because I was like, I could have met Sutton, but this damn COVID, when in reality I would have been shit in solid brick. So hi Sutton, it's me, Ryan, hi. Like, I would, you would have had to force me to like go up and say hi. Like, that's like some of my counterparts, they're all like, they love to go up and like and talk to housewives and stuff. I will be hiding behind every tree known to man. So we talked yesterday about Travis Barker's emergency rush to the hospital. Turns out he has pancreatitis. And that is, it supposedly could have been brought on by, what was it? By like a doctor poking around for, I have to look this up. This is what I'm telling you. This is what the COVID does. It gives you brain fog, because normally I would know everything about Travis Barker like that. Like, I already know it in my heart of hearts, but your brain just does not work as well. And now I'm trying to elongate my sentences while I look this up so I don't have to push pause. Okay, yes, this here. It's he was hospitalized for I like slick stuff. Following a colonoscopy. Pancreatitis and colon, both hard words to pronounce for me. Colonoscopy. So I guess a doctor was poking around and must have aggravated this and made it a pancreatitis. Like, so now this makes me not want to ever get a colonoscopy. But then I was talking today to somebody. I was like, don't you, with these rich people, it's like they're getting poked and prodded by so many doctors and health products that they're almost like things are just randomly happening. I was thinking, like, remember, Hailey Bieber had a blood clot, right? Recently. Justin Bieber, half of his face froze. Travis has a pancreatitis thing. Like, every one of the, and these guys are all super healthy. I'm waiting for something to happen to Kendall Jenner. Thankfully, all of these guys have turned out to be okay. But man, were you guys, I was really scared about the Travis thing. Cause like, I was like, that tragedy. Cause you know, Chris would have wanted to cover it on the show, you know? And there's no part of me that would ever want to see a Courtney widow storyline. Ever, never, never, never. Also, I had mentioned in this interview Camp North for Northwest's 9th birthday. Kim did a Camp North where she flew all her little friends on Kim's private jet. I mean, Kim didn't fly it. There were pilots to some backwoods area where they got a jet ski and they had these little tents, but the tents had like blood all over them and stuff. Not real blood, like fake blood. But I was like, does North watch Yellow Jackets on Showtime? Like, North seems like she possibly could be the coolest little nine-year-old that I've ever heard of in my life. If North is on the Yellow Jackets Reddit thread, like, could you imagine, like, all of a sudden, like, you're like, who's giving these brilliant theories? And it's like, it's me, North, shut the fuck up! Also, in Poser of the Week, now I know a lot of you guys love Machine Gun Kelly. I always get comments about people like, oh, take it easy on Machine Gun. Like, first off, Machine Gun Kelly doesn't give a shit if I say something, but sometimes I think this guy is poser punk. Remember, he started off as rap, and we can all experiment, but he found more popularity with this punk stuff. But now he's gone fully punk, and he did a Madison Square Garden show last night, and he smashed at the after party. He did a toast. He's like, let's all party tonight. Let's all rock and roll. Let's do this. We got the gang here. And then he smashed a champagne glass into his head, and he started bleeding. And then, of course, as a punk rocker does, you got to post it on the IG, man. You got to post it. He posted a little video. It was like, huh, rad. Like, come on, man. Please. Like, this is not punk rock. This is punk rock done by kids bops. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like vanilla punk rock. And I, you know, enjoy it, but just enjoy it right now, because I guarantee you this will not last. Like, I truly, and I know some of you guys are going to hate me for saying that, but it's true. I truly believe that's true. Is that everything? I don't know. Who knows? Let's get into it, because I can barely see straight right now. But don't worry. These are great guests. I'm really proud to get these ladies. I can't say enough good things about them. And I will be back on Friday for a Beverly Hills recap. Hopefully I have a little more energy by then. And I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to leave it all on the dance floor so we can all have a happy 4th of July holiday, you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support. And here is Julie and Emma from Comments by Celebs. Welcome back to iHeartRadio. So Bad It's Good. Today we have one returning guest and one person new to the show. But these women, I just geek out on them so hard, not only for their podcast, but their insanely amazing Instagram account. I was listening to their podcast from this week today, and I try to stay away from pop culture podcasts because I don't want to steal from anybody, but I was just sitting there going, yes, exactly. Yes. Yes. I was like screaming. I was like, Harry Styles, long hair, hairy face. Yes. I was really enjoying this, and I know you guys will. They do three shows a week. Emma does all of them. And Emma and Isabel do the Bravo podcast, which I was able to speak with her last year. And we finally get to speak to Julie today. And they do not only Kardashians, which is like a separate episode a week, which I need to know if they're recovering from the season finale of the Kardashians, but they also do general pop culture. You of course know them from the Instagram account, Comments by Celebs, Comments by Bravo. The Comments brand is very strong. Emma and Julie, welcome to the show.
Oh my God. We are so happy to be here. You always, every single time I speak to you, you make us feel so special and celebrated. And we really, really, but
how do you not get excited talking to like-minded people? The only thing I'm really regretting now is the cameras are on and I would have dyed my beard because it's turned white from worrying about Khloe Kardashian for the last year. And it's turned me into an old man. You guys look great though. I mean, how are you dealing with the state of pop culture, let alone the state of the world? I do want to point out they had a beautiful introduction to their podcast this week, kind of talking about this. And it's really hard to talk about some people can call this fluff. Some people can call this whatever, but I think of it as much more. I think this is the escapism of escapism. And if we can recognize both, I think there's a really happy medium. And I think you guys really do that beautifully. How are you holding up this week?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, the caveat that we gave on our episode is kind of the same thing I would say here, which is obviously we recognize in the scheme of things, everything we're about to talk about really is irrelevant. You know, we have much major issues that we're facing. At the same time, I think everybody does need that escapism. And so if we can even be a fraction of providing that, then I think we feel, you know, really lucky to be able to do that.
You feel the same way, Julie, or you're like, I don't want to talk about anything. Like, how is your vibe on pop culture? Has it always been the same for you, Julie, like since you were a kid? Like, have you loved this stuff since you were little?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was young, I would go to the grocery store with my mom because while we would shop, I would take the magazines that were at like the checkout counter and I would walk around with her and read them. And yeah, I've just always been such a huge fan of pop culture and been involved. I would say like I have very, very early memories of following Anna Nicole Smith's story way closer than I have. So
could you imagine if Anna Nicole Smith was still here and had social media?
No, I think about
that. TikTok videos with Anna. Like that's the, sometimes I think about it. Like what if, like, you know, what if these celebrities from 20 years ago, which is like, I was that kid before even the internet that was getting Us Weeklies before, like when it was just the hard copy magazine and you would get the photos and I would like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now it's everywhere. Pop culture is everywhere, almost too much to consume. And that's why I think we need shows like yours to help us kind of get through the muck and mire.
Well, thank you. I mean, I feel similarly to you. I think that, you know, what you were saying earlier about getting excited about talking to like-minded people, I think that's one of the reasons that I always enjoy speaking to you, because you validate what we try to validate in each other, which is there is a way to do this that doesn't make you feel stupider after. It's possible. It really is possible.
Oh my God. You guys got to talk to, do you know MJ Corey, Kardashian Colloquium? Have you follow her? Like, so she does it through the, you know, through a, like a collegiate lens, and it like puts like a framework around these things where I'm like, I might be brilliant. Look at me. Like this might, you know, it's like, I was like, oh my God, I need to get a master's in Kardashians or something.
Yes. She is brilliant. We have been wanting to speak to her. We've really held off on the guests because we haven't been in studio. I know you do all.
Yeah. Three years. You were out of studio. Yeah. I mean, but you know, what's cool though, is that you guys don't need guests. Like, I was just like, oh, this is perfect. Like, I mean, I know you might be interested in talking to other people, but the vibe is like, I think the best thing about podcasts is feeling like, oh, these guys are friends, or they still like each other. I think, is that true? Do you guys still like each other, or do you?
We like each other a little too much.
Okay, good, good. I would be just like, oh, I can't stand her. She's horrible.
No. We're very lucky in that regard.
It was such an intense week. And that's why on Sunday, when I got my TMZ alert, my phones are just filled with alerts from pop culture things, is that we had, and you mentioned this briefly, but I just almost felt like we needed this to kind of swing back into a general, what the WTF, Ben Affleck's 10-year-old son crashed his first Lambo. And I want to say first, I believe he'll crash other Lambos in the future. What did you guys feel when you saw, and we got pictures of the 10-year-old and Ben Affleck was smiling. He was like, yeah, buddy, I crash Lambos all the time.
That was really something. I think it was Julie that said on the episode, it sounded like something that London Tipton would say. Like, it sounded so fake that we're in this Lamborghini dealership and Ben Affleck's 10-year-old. But those are the moments where you gotta wonder that he's probably cursing the fact that there's paparazzi, you know? It's like the one. Yeah, he's like,
it's all right, son. He's like gritting his, like my dad, like I scratched up his Corolla one time. And then I was like, I was in the shit house for like a month from him just because I just got some minor scratches. This is like a $1 million car or something.
I think the crazier element is how not big of a deal it seemed to be. That's really the story.
J-Lo was there too. Like, imagine crashing your car in front of J-Lo.
Oh God, I can't.
No, I couldn't.
So what did you guys think of this season of The Kardashians on Hulu? It was a 10 episode season. They reinvented the wheel. They now talk to the camera, which is a big new thing for them. What did you guys think coming off the last season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I mean, I know we both have so much to say. You go first, Julie. Take the
reins. Yeah, I know. This is what I hate. Is like, this is just going to be a little taste, you guys. And I want to get in deep and it's going to be impossible. But overall, I just want to know what you thought as a whole for the season.
I will say that it was I think one of the greatest seasons of television that I've ever watched. I thought it was perfect. Like, I thought that we got more information than we could have expected. I thought everything that they explained to us beforehand about how it was supposed to be elevated in documentary style, I felt they really followed through with that. And I just genuinely could not get enough. When it was over, I felt like it was like the last day of camp. I was like, I miss it so much. I cry.
And what, same for you, Emma?
Oh yeah. I was blown away. I really, really was. I thought that they did such a good job of having such minimal fluff, which if we're being honest, I mean, listen, I watched every single season of Keeping Up like it was Bible. So don't get me wrong. I loved it. That being said, you know, there was a lot of fluff. There were pranks. There was this, and we didn't have any of that bullshit here. Oh. And I was so appreciative of that.
The fact that we didn't have to meet Art Vandelay again this season, or we didn't have a scene with Chris and a mime. I was like, yes, like this is truly incredible television, almost by default, just by not having those elements.
Totally. And even when they did smaller things, like the scene where Kylie and Chris go to the grocery store together, it was done in such a different way. Where that was one of my favorite scenes of the entire season. I was like, I fucking love Kylie, and I didn't really realize it until now.
Well, it also is funny now they are such a gargantuan conglomerate, but it is funny almost now to, you know, watch Kylie pump some gas and she's like, oh, this is so cute. This is so, I'm like, come on my life. It is so cute and quaint when I have to like pick up my room, or like she thinks these little things that we do every day are like quaint. Like they're at a grocery store and they're like, this is so cute. And I'm like, I've never thought Trader Joe's was cute.
No, I know. That's something we were saying though, because I think a lot of the feedback, or not a lot of the feedback, there was definitely some feedback to that scene of it being very tone deaf. And I think that, you know, personally, my response is like, of course they're out of touch. I mean,
but see, that's why it works for me, because it is tone deaf. It adds a level of comedy to it that it's like, you know, and that was my complaint, like you guys, about the last iteration of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, was you could have had the best reality show in the history of television just by focusing on what they were actually going through. And instead it would be 90% of kind of BS, like weird games and weird setup pranks that, you know, and they're not that good of actors. So it would just be always like stilted. But this, you really did get at least a little bit more in terms of every episode, there was a driving force, even if it was an overall commercial for Good American or Skims. I thought it highlighted their brands and their personal life way better than the initial show.
Oh, for sure. I mean, by the way, and this is a personal thing, because I think even some of the most diehard fans wouldn't necessarily agree with what I'm about to say. I don't mind when I'm watching something and I know throughout the show they're selling me the product. Like we were saying, if this is the thing that we're going to congratulate and celebrate Kris Jenner for, her marketing ability, her sales ability, how are we then going to criticize her for doing it on one of the biggest platforms she has? On some level, if you're going to praise this woman, you have to realize you're going to be on the receiving end of that. And I would rather get the behind the scenes of the Skim Sports Illustrated and the behind the scenes of the Good American. And then know, yeah, okay, I'm being sold a little. And you know what? Did I place an order? I absolutely did. And I'm thrilled with the order.
Julie, for you, how much of a hero is Kim Kardashian going down to the DR while sick and taking bikini shots? Was that a hero moment for you that you're like, this girl can do it all?
Listen, as always is said, not all heroes wear capes. And
sometimes they wear a two-piece. Yeah. Like
sometimes they wear shapewear, and Kim clearly showed that this season.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was fun, but it also is always interesting. And this is kind of where pop culture has gone, because now we have so much second screen adding to something in real time. So, you know, even when the Kanye stuff was going down, we know, like, it's very interesting to watch the show now, because there almost needs to be an after show just talking about the actual social media that was happening during that week. And I think this of Bravo a lot as well, because I'm like, oh my gosh, we're already now reading second season plot lines in their social media while watching the first season. And it becomes weirdly meta and multiversey, you know?
Oh, very much so. I mean, there's so much here, because of course, when we saw those Sports Illustrated photos come out, we didn't know the behind the scenes. I mean, we definitely didn't know that Kim was just fed dibs on the plane. By the way,
who would have thought she likes a poor people food like me? Dibs, chocolate dibs. I thought it was going to be a weed edible or something. It turned out dibs.
That's what we thought it was going to be edible as well. But also, by the way, that was her first time ever on her plane, which was going down for that shoot. So there were so many layers to that shoot that really, you know, I think contributed to her overall feeling about it. But wait, I need to go back for a second to something you just said before about, you know, joking, her being a hero going down while sick. We always say, and I think that you really pick up on this when you do the rewatch of Keeping Up from the beginning, as we've been doing, Kim has a very strong work ethic and nobody takes that from her, but she also loves making it known. And I think she was like, she was,
oh, in the DR, it was all, look how hard I'm working and it's going very well for me. Like, she right. reminded us a billion times.
Right. And like, she didn't say this and nor would she ever, but you know, in the back of her mind, she was thinking Kylie and Kendall would never, or specifically Kylie and Courtney would never.
Hey, Court won't even answer the FaceTime call, you right. know, like, it's really interesting that journey. Cause that is one of the things that we really, and then it would like, we would get hit with weird messaging. I think even around the season finale with, you know, Chris going, Chloe is the strongest. And I'm like, is she? Like, is Chloe the strongest? Like, I mean, I sometimes wonder, and especially through the emotional vacuum that she's been put through, because at this point, it's diabolical in regards to Tristan. Like, at this point, it's so much so that I have an angry reaction, and I know you guys are more level-headed than me, but I'm just like, I'm done with Kris Jenner saying we got to be nice around the kids. For like, I'm like, maybe the kids shouldn't be around somebody that is that deceitful on a regular basis. Do you guys, like, I always just get really frustrated with Kris poking her head in and going, all the kids need to act like they don't know anything that's happening.
Julie, how do you feel? You take the reins on this one?
It is an interesting point, and I can't say the thought has never crossed my mind in regards to what you're saying. I think that's something that helps me when I am thinking like that. I'm like, the kids are so young. Like, they're so, so young that there is a certain amount of sheltering them that's obviously going to be taking place. I think that Kris finds a lot of comfort in knowing that, like, you know what? We can treat them like this at this age, but this is all on camera. Like, we're not hiding them from anything. We're just
see, that's the other thing, the meta thing of it's on camera at the same time that they're saying, let's not talk about the dad, but we're still talking about the dad. It's on camera, you know?
Of course. I mean, they're going to find out eventually. And I'm sure on some level they have an awareness. You know, you can't fully shield that, especially these kids. Not that they have social media, specifically not true, but, you know, kids are exposed to things. I go really, really back and forth with how I feel about the family's general approach to being so kind to some of these figures that have wronged them, because on some level, I'm very opposed to it. At the same time, I recognize I'm not a child of divorce. I don't know what that's like. I don't know how I would handle it in that situation. So it's I'm conflicted, although I think I tend to admire them for it. I just sometimes wonder at what expense for their own sakes.
But even I sometimes think the sheltering has gone way out the window already, just by not even anybody's fault, just by the amount of cameras that follow them everywhere. The kids are very aware. Even, you know, North, when she's like, I don't want the cameras today. I don't, you know, like, I find it, I'm like, we're already on uncharted territory with these children. It's a little bit of the way, like, I feel about the Smith family with Willow and Jaden. But I imagine this has got to be even worse because it's just been from day one with these kids.
I can't imagine that, you know, it's different than Kendall and Kylie, because I know the older kids like Courtney, Kim and Chloe will say, you know, we chose this. Kendall and Kylie were kind of thrown into this at a younger age. And so they naturally became accustomed to it, but they didn't necessarily choose it. But even for them, they were 9 and 10. I mean, all of the current Kardashian-Jenner kids were quite literally born into it. I mean, they had a camera in their face since they were literally out the womb. I mean, Mason was born on camera. It's the most iconic birth potentially ever. Courtney pulled him out.
By the way, the hardest Courtney ever. Like, Courtney will always go down. Like, that is a historical moment. You guys, if you've never watched, Courtney rips her child from her womb. Not rips, but like, it was the strongest, most badass thing I've ever seen Courtney do. And now I've seen her like pretty much make out with Travis Barker every day. And I still think that is such a badass moment that I was shocked that it was on TV.
I'll never be over it.
I can't believe Courtney's most iconic moments have literally come from the doctor's office of the OBGYN. Like, I can't believe from her pulling Mason out to her having sex with Travis, which, by the way, I have never heard of that in my entire life. Like,
you mean the drinking of the 4 times a week drinking of the juices, that kind of thing?
First of all, that, which seems like, like, Travis must have paid for that kind of.
Oh, I was like, that's, you know, that's Mark Hoppus going, hi, this is Dr. Winkelmeyer. Courtney, we're going to need you to drink. You know, like, it makes no sense.
By the way, like Courtney was probably doing that anyway. The thing that I couldn't get over was them having sex during the egg retrieval. I was like, I think you're just like supposed to go in alone and like jerk off into a cup.
Yes, yes. And the poor, and the lady was there, like that poor lady. I always think they should get combat pay or like get a bump in pay because this lady's already doing hero's work trying to get babies out. But it's like, whoa, like I would be shell shocked. And we got that from episode one of this new iteration where they're going to look at a house, you know, and they're like, oh, the Sinatra vibe. And they go out with a, and they sit in somebody else's lawn furniture and he immediately cups both of her butt cheeks while she's straddling him. And you could tell it's made like the realtor. We, you know, I'm like, this is, they live in such a weird bubble, like a love bubble that I get like love is love. And I get all of this stuff. But at the same time, I've liked people before, but I've also been taught by my mom, like, don't be too, you know, like, don't be too grabby. Don't be too, like, let's always make sure if you're out in public, you want to make, you know, like other people comfortable in a way. Have they just gotten so used to being rich and famous that they do not need to make anybody feel comfortable anymore?
Oh, absolutely. The concept to think that those two things exist separately is illogical.
I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
You know, I'm not saying that they're both not fans of PDA and that on some level, maybe Travis has brought this out of her more. Maybe he has more of this desire, although we'll come back to that in a second because the season we're currently watching of Courtney and Kim Take New York. You see that she always had this little bit of this PDA thing with Scott. However, put that in the back of your mind for a second. Naturally, the fact that they exist in this other world, I think, totally contributes to it because the social norms that your average person feels are out the window. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a conflation.
Even take us out of the, like, Mason's a growing kid. You got little Mowgli, you got Rain, who's always jumping around. You got Penelope, who always looks like just like the Penelope is one of those people that like always like look through you. I feel like she's like almost psychic powers. Like she always feels like she's like, I see when you're going to die in the future, you know? And like they have to, like they've even asked the parents, like they've even asked Travis and Courtney. We see that one scene that like, hey, could you not do this, you know, at the dinner table? Like I always think that's interesting, just even taking us out of the equation of like their own children has to. Like, is this going to then make Mason be extra grabby when he grows up, you know?
I think if anything, it's going in the opposite direction. I think that
honestly, Mason will never touch anybody in his life. Yeah.
No, I mean, that one scene, it was, I said, the only two times that I felt while watching the show where I was like, all right, this is too much was the realtor. And then when Penelope was like quite literally begging them, because those were the only times that I was like, I can celebrate this 99% of the time. This feels like maybe not right
too
now.
Much. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing about the Kardashians and why I talk about it so much on the show, even though a lot of people so dislike the Kardashians, but I'm like, if you love pop culture, you got to pay attention, especially this year, because they have overtaken, they flooded the market. Like, and I was listening, Julie, you had an amazing point on this week's episode about like the next generation, you know, like the baton theory of this family is that, you know, we have like, we had Camp North for North's birthday. We saw the social media photos today where Kim, you know, took Jessica Simpson's daughter included, took these girls to a camp on her PJ, her new private jet, Camp North, which is just, I mean, wild. But we're training these kids. But you were talking about this baton theory of who are the in-between people. Are the in-between people now Alabama and the Barkers because they're a little bit older? Explain your theory a little bit more.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how they almost have every age group covered, like from Courtney to Chloe is a certain age. Kylie and Kendall are one age. They reach a certain demographic. But then you have a huge gap before North and Penelope are going to come on the scene. And by the way, it's not even like a when they come on or how they're going to come on. Like it is a definitive, like when they will 100% come on the scene in a major way. But you're missing a small gap there in between the two age groups of what Kris Jenner can provide, both in terms of like building up the family empire and also like, you know, having people to manage in the meantime. And Alabama and Landon, Travis's kids, really fill that gap. I mean, and both, not just because they're, you know, of the right age, but because it seems like that's something that they really want to do. Landon's very into music. He's very into TikTok. Alabama's really into makeup, also really into TikTok. And so they're two people that can really, really come on the scene in a major way and, you know, continue to build with this family empire, I think, and represent.
So Kris just watches them and go, yes, yes.
Especially now that Landon is supposedly dating Charli D'Amelio.
Yeah. So this is the new big news, you guys. And you know, if you've listened to this for a while, that I've fought TikTok culture for a long time just because it makes me feel creepy. But now I've gotten more into it. And the big news is, you know, the D'Amelios, which had one of the darkest reality show moments of the first episode of their Hulu series, where the parents are watching their kids just cry, just like completely be crushed about their life. And they allowed that to go on camera, but they're the biggest were the biggest on TikTok. One of the D'Amelios is now dating one of the Barkers, right?
Yes. I mean, apparently Charli D'Amelio, basically the reigning queen of TikTok, is apparently dating Landon Barker, Travis's son. And that's a huge deal. Like I know to us, you know, in our 20s, whatever, it doesn't feel that exciting. But if you are 16 years old, that is your Kim and Pete. I mean, yeah,
like, that's what I'm saying. Like, who was that for you guys when you were growing up? Like, who was that? Like, oh my God, they're dating. I'm like trying to think, like, who were those people when you were growing up?
Okay. It's not the same. And I'm going to try to think of your answer, but Julie, you want to know who the first person that came to my mind was? No. Like a Laguna Beach situation, like a Kristen Cavallari. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking of more like the type of like person that Landon is in terms of that emo boy type thing. And I was thinking of like a Hillary Duff, Joel Madden type situation.
Right. Or okay. Ryan Cabrera.
Ryan Cabrera really Cabrera got around for a very long time. Like, I mean, Cabrera pops up still in like reality show. Like I'll watch a reality show from like the 90s and like, or the early aughts and Cabrera will just be there. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, was there did he get an alert where people were filming in Los Angeles and they would just show up there? It was weird.
Those were the glory days though. You know,
it was controllable. Like, I mean, I could like, it was like you had The Hills, you had Real World, you had a Little Housewives going. Like, I mean, it was doable. Now it is so off the charts where you have to like, it's like pop culture on steroids.
It is. It really is. the good news.
No, I think it is good news. It's just sometimes scary because I just like, I'm going to be on my deathbed. It'll be like, I need to check 5 social media apps and see what the hot news is, you know, like that's because these are our true joys. Like all, like how I unwind and relax at night is like go to the Daily Mail and refresh on my phone. And I'll be like, oh, and then do you guys do Daily Mail still? Do you mess around with that?
Yeah.
You can admit it. You don't have to.
I'm not proud, but I look at that Snapchat every single day because why not?
Wait, you're still on Snapchat?
Yeah, that's literally the two reasons I have Snapchat is to send Julie and Isabel funny shit throughout the day and to check the Daily Mail Snapchat story.
Daily Mail is great because you just start to pick up on patterns where it's like they love to use the word tot tummies. They're like, Kendall Jenner's tot tummy. Like they almost like, and I'm like, this is insane. And just next time you guys pay attention to Daily Mail, do this. I'm about to make a TikTok about it. The obsession with Colin Farrell's arms in the Daily Mail is insane. It's something you would never recognize, but just start or even type into a Google search, Colin Farrell arms, muscles, Daily Mail. And they have like 40 articles about Colin Farrell finishes a hike with his muscular arms. Like it is, I'm almost like, is this a prank for like the people at the Daily Mail? Like I started catching on to it. I was like, who's in love with Colin Farrell over there?
That is so funny.
Sorry. So back to the, as we start wrapping up with the Kardashians is, in terms of the men though, we had, you know, we saw the big Kourtney storyline still involves Scott. I feel like we're going to see this storyline until the end of time or till the end of the show. And Scott, you know, he's just so dang entertaining that you almost forget how much pain he did put Kourtney through. And it kind of works for me because it's weirdly comedic to watch Kourtney go, this dude cheated on me like multiple times. He was on drugs. He was on allegedly all of this stuff. And he's still here because he's so dang entertaining that everyone wants to film with him. What is your opinion on Scott Disick over the years?
My God, how much time you got? Julie, you go first. We could write a thesis.
I know. By the way, I just want to do my Scott imitation for you guys because I really, what's going on? Come on, invite me, you guys. Why am I not invited? I do these parties. Are you kidding me? I just want to be invited.
You are good.
And here's my food god. Sorry.
In regards to your question about how we feel about Scott, I feel comfortable speaking for both of us when we are Scott apologists to a fault. I think and this is something that we spoke about so often. We're like, we recognize all of the things that Scott has done wrong. Like we're not blind to them. We're not trying to excuse them, but he's had such a redemption arc over the years that we've all been a part of and really rooting for him. And there was a real gap of time there when their relationship ended in between that and the start of the relationship with Travis, where it wasn't a question about Scott being at events. Scott was part of the family. When his parents died, Chris said to him, like, you're my blood, like you're our part of our family. And so we feel like as we've watched the season, we're like, you can't just take it back now. Like, yeah, Scott has his faults, but you can't just do that to him.
Chris is like, Corey, go tell Scott he can't hang out with us anymore.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's done a lot of wrong and no part of us denies that. But we were even just watching a recent episode from 2010 when it was Kim's 30th birthday. And Scott is the one that threw her the surprise birthday dinner. Scott's the one that gave her the speech and says, you are, you know, my sister. That doesn't just go away. And so I think if he's saying I'm capable, this is our biggest point. It is the most painful out of anyone to be in the same room as Kourtney and Travis as it is for Scott. I mean, that is like take his heart and just rip it out, or at least in the beginning. If he's willing to put himself through that pain, like that should be enough, you know?
Can I play devil's advocate for 1 second? Because I do like Scott. I do like Scott. I do find it interesting, as do a lot of other people. The men that they choose to bring into their lives are almost like these kind of wounded puppy dogs. I will also say the men in their lives are sometimes more charming than the Kardashians themselves. So it's like this weird mix that they always run towards. But with the Scott thing is like, I completely understand everything that you're saying, but I also like go, oh my God, is this Groundhog's Day? I'm hearing the same excuses over and over again. And if you were so broken up with Kourtney, you could have laid back on the partying, and then the penchant for like young girls in their 20s is a little weird. It's just like it comes off of like, okay, I know you say all of these things, but your actions say something completely different. Because we get Art Basel Scott, like, I've been partying forever, you know, like we get that Scott, and the kids seem like they love him to death. It's always, I love seeing the kids with Scott, but it is one of those things I'm like, dude, your whole, like, I always feel like I have to worry about this dude, like, because he really comes off like he wants to be worried about sometimes, almost to gather or garner attention, because he doesn't, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just find sometimes it's frustrating, his actions.
Wait, you are 100% justified in every single thing you're saying. My response to that is, yeah, definitely true. There's something clearly wrong here. I mean, his dating pattern is not normal. It's not something to be celebrated. It's something that should honestly be, you know, potentially questioned a little. But my thing is like, why does that stop him from still having the inclusion in terms of the family events? That was my only bone to pick with the way the family was handling it. It wasn't anything else. I think that he is allowed to be criticized, specifically that DM with Eunice. That was fucked up. You don't go to the enemy, basically.
But see, that's a very, and I was almost disappointed when Pete finally jumped into the Kanye mix of like, I'm in bed with your wife. You know, like I was like, oh, Pete, come on, man. Like, because then you start to realize, oh, he's just a dude in his 20s too, trying to like get one up on this dude. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, the Pete, it was interesting because I wanted them to like just keep quiet. I thought it was so brave of Pete to just stay quiet. And then when he jumped into the mix, I was like, oh, he's that typical dude. Like Scott's a typical dude or Tristan's a typical dude. And that almost disappointed me in Pete. By the way, the fact that I'm even hearing myself say all of these, I'm so disappointed in myself. What a shameful life I lead.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Wait. Like I get personally wrapped up in this.
Hold on. This is very important. This is the moment that Julie and I have with each other on a weekly basis. And I want to say it to you. We have to just accept this part of ourselves. Clearly, we are fascinated by it. And I think the good news is that we made a business from it, all three of us. So there's no shame here. This is a no judge. If we're going to do this, we can't judge ourselves for doing it. Okay. So just.
Yeah, but you're girls, you're in your young, you're young. I'm like this old, I'm like, I have buddies, my buddies' wives and girlfriends want to talk to me more than my buddies do because I know all the stuff that they like. Like, that's my taste. But it's just interesting when I'm getting more upset about their life than I'm getting upset about my own life. Like, I'll be like, I'm going to Calabasas right now and I'm going to find where Tristan is because it is done. I don't care what Chris says. It is done. And but like the Tristan stuff. Where do you think they would have ended the season if not for the Tristan revelation? I always find it so interesting of like, wow, so weird. Like they had that on the 10th episode. We got to see this real conversation at 6 a.m. in the working out. And, you know, I love that Kylie was like, oh, he's just absolute garbage. I was like, finally, we get something on record. Where do you think they would have ended the season?
That's a good question. I think when we spoke about it, we were saying that I think they would have stretched it out a little bit longer and then ended with Kim giving us that, okay, you guys wore me down. Like, I'll tell you what happened with Pete. I think that would have happened.
Okay.
And they would have stretched the other episodes a little bit farther.
See that? Okay. Definitely. I could have seen it going that direction. But also, I mean, the question everybody wants to know is in the final episode when Chris is basically teasing, you guys have no idea what's going on with my family. There's a big question mark there. And I think that one of our hypotheses was, maybe it's the Kanye social media stuff that's about to go down. So I also could have seen a world in which if this was maybe, let's say a 12 episode season, maybe we would have started to get some more of the Kanye stuff because I really do think that it's going to be done carefully, but I think Kim's going to be pretty honest in terms of how she was feeling. I mean, you have to remember when in the height of his social media rants, remember when Kim responded via story with that statement? That was a huge deal. Like if you have been following Kim from the beginning, you know how groundbreaking that was for her to get to the point where she wanted to respond in such a public way. And I think on some level, we are going to receive those emotions. It'll be done tastefully. She's never going to shame him like seriously, but I think we'll get that.
I find it interesting that I think the second season is probably already done. I mean, I think we'll get the Marilyn dress, obviously. I do think Pete will be, you know, on camera. We got his voice. We, you know, like it is going to be very interesting, but I feel like the second season is pretty, I mean, we're going to have hot ones, obviously, with Chloe. Do we think Chloe's stomach has healed yet from hot one? Like, I mean, like, I was like, dude, that's like not, she's like, I don't eat chicken. I don't like hot sauce, but I'm here. And I'm like, that's like, this is not going to be good, you know? But no. I loved it though. I was like, oddly, I was so into her on Hot Ones.
Well, we were just saying that, Julie, like, right. She was so fun and so flirtatious.
That's what, but see now investment banker, like I want her with the host of Hot Ones. Like I want her with the, like I want just like, so, I want just some like normal guy, like investment banker. It's normal, but not like normal. I want me, you know, like date me, let's do that. Like that would be, nobody would see that coming. It's like, oh, the dude that talks about Kardashians all the time. Okay. As we start, I think I only got like 20 more minutes with you or in that time frame. Just let me know when you need to go. What are your, to move to like kind of general pop culture and celebrities, who are your celebrity crushes or who have they been over the ages? Have you broken up with anybody in your head?
When I was growing up, it was Ashton Kutcher. I don't know, for some reason to me, he was the most classically handsome man. And as
okay, we're gonna have to let you go, Emma. what about you? Ashton Kutcher. Okay, Ashton.
I know. Kutcher. No, it's like the,
please don't tell me you like Austin, but Austin Kroll. Please don't tell me you're one of the no. Well, lovers.
Okay, I don't like Austin Kroll. I had a moment when I saw how tall he was, what I admitted on the podcast. Oh. I know. I'm sorry.
Dude.
I'm not gonna lie to you. now
this height thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a thing for me. Trust me. You're telling me you don't know the shit it's gotten me into. But now in my 27th year of life, I would say my number one celebrity crush is Ben Affleck.
Okay, you guys, now is the part of the show that's my favorite. We get to celebrate the advertiser who has sponsored the show this week, and it is our friends at Rothy's. Now, Rothy's, I have the coolest, I'm going to say badass, pair of shoes that I've ever had in my life. In fact, I wore them at the Countess Luann show at the El Rey on Friday, and I got to tell you, I'm not even making this. I got 3 compliments on my shoes, and I'm a dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love Rothy's. This place is excellent. And I even passed a brick and mortar store on Melrose, like off of Melrose. And I was like, they advertise on the show. I got so excited. I saw a commercial from the other day. They're big time, you guys. So have you ever seen someone wearing a colorful pair of flats or shoes and thought, dang, those are cute, like a lot of people did to me on Friday night? They might have been Rothy's. Rothy's are the perfect shoes for commuting and traveling. Everyone notices them. They're known for their chic pointed toe flats, but that's just the beginning because they have tons of iconic head-turning designs in bright but sophisticated colors. Plus, Rothy's works great with every outfit. That is true. Even the shoe I have, like I said, I'm a dude. It actually works with so many different outfits that I've worn it with so far. You can wear them with yoga pants or dress them up for a night out. And they are insanely comfortable. They really, truly are. This is like a slipper. As soon as you take your first step, you think, ah, I like taking steps. And Rothy's takes sustainability to the next level. This, I actually think, is extremely flippin' cool. All their products are knit with thread made from plastic water bottles. They have repurposed around $125 million water bottles so far. Also, have you ever tried to find plastic threads in a water bottle? I tried to do that today. It is nearly impossible. My personal experience, like I said, I got a free pair of shoes, I'll be honest, and they got sent to me. Well, first off, the experience on the website, super easy. There was a lot to choose from. In fact, I have 4 things on my wish list because they even have bags at Rothy's, because I was like, would this kind of make me a lot happier of a person overall if I had this cool looking bag? I just think they look unique. They feel unique. The comfort level is next level. And you always want to feel like you're doing something that is good for the planet, because we're not going to stop getting products, but we want to make sure that we don't leave as big of a footprint as we do. And Rothy's knows all about that and actually does something about that. For women, though, I got to tell you, this is really where they excel. Their website has so many different looks and styles. And from people that I talk to about Rothy's, and I have, they say it is actually, in fact, Meditza used my product code the other day to get a pair of Rothy's. She wanted to treat herself. The washability on this is awesome too. I can throw these in the shoes and they in the old washer and they can be washed. My other shoes, I tried to wash all my other shoes. They're all broken now because the Rothy's are the only things that survived. So anyways, your new favorite shoes are waiting. Discover the versatile styles you can wear absolutely anywhere and get $20 off your first purchase at Rothy's.com/SoBad. That's Rothy's.com/SoBad for $20 off your first order. And like I always say with this, just go put that in the website. Doesn't mean you have to purchase something, but let them show that you listen to the pod and you're there. You know, maybe if you're there, you know, get something. You get $20 off. You know what I'm saying?
I respect that. Now, Ben Affleck, if you look at his life like a reality show, I feel like he is, you know, on a hero's journey right now, a redemption arc, if you will. And, you know, I like that he's always in his little plaid, you know, button up shirts and committed to smoking and all. I do like Ben Affleck. I find it interesting that he teeters on pop culture in so many different ways. You know, it's like Matt Damon doesn't get this anymore. Like Ben Affleck is still firmly planted in celebrity pop culture. I still love, like, my joy is a Ben Affleck meme. Like, I love a good Ben Affleck meme. Just like, it's my love language. Julie, what about you?
I I have a lot. Like, honestly, I'm somebody who very much goes through phases with my celebrity crushes. Like, in terms of what you said about like going through a breakup, like me and Jack Harlow are off right now. Like, he gave me the ick and I haven't been able
to. Once you heard the album?
No, not even the album. It was the video of him being carried at the Kentucky Derby. And I was like, we had such a good run. And like, also like, I also do this thing where once everyone else gets on board, I'm like, okay, you guys can have them. I'm out.
I'm out. Hey, Jack, I just wanted you to know why I've not been peeping your stuff lately. I bet you've noticed. And no, I think also I was at home last night and I saw him pop up on a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. And I was like, oh, okay. Interesting. Like, you know, you could just do the rap thing, but like, I don't know. It's weird when we have these celebrities, and especially if you're in the rap game, you know, when you're, you know, a commodity all of a sudden and doing ads for things that might not necessarily be the coolest in the world, you know?
Kentucky Fried Chicken actually makes sense because of the Kentucky connection. I actually think that Jack Harlow tends to do things that are pretty on brand for him. So that one makes sense. But I don't know, like when Kim started dating Pete, like you have to understand for me, I was like, this is both the greatest moment in pop culture and my worst nightmare, because never, ever will Pete look in, not even in my direction, like within 700 feet of me after dating Kim Kardashian. Like, it's like,
so, oh, you were like, I want Pete personally. You were like, I want Pete personally.
I was since for his first season of SNL.
Julie, how are you going to look at the tattoo of the Martian man on his chest and ever be able to take that seriously?
I know, you sound like my mom too.
I feel like I should have your mom on the show at some point. Like, this is, I'm very worried about you. If these are the decisions you're making for yourself, like the do you ever picture Kim like staring down at that tattoo and like if Pete's asleep and she's like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here?
I do think she makes him keep a shirt on during sex. No. Black t-shirt? No.
Well, I just figure it's like, I just wonder if she's ever been like, tell me the story behind each one of these 8 billion tattoos, Pete.
I think they've done that 100%. They went through every single one of them. Mm-hmm.
What is the attraction with Pete Davidson for women, do you think? What is it? Is it just the bad boy? Is it like a legend thing now? Is it the BDE?
First of all, I think that he's like objectively hot in my opinion, but I also think that being tall, funny, and having like such a nice reputation doesn't hurt at all.
Well, I'm not attracted to him physically. I never have been, but I do think that in the conversation and all of it that gets lost is his humor. I mean, funny guys pull, like it's just a thing.
Funny guy. Now, see, like, I always think that's like, that's a falsity to a degree. Like, funny guys pull, but these funny guys also have to be uniquely good looking. Like, it's funny, good looking guys pull. Like, funny, like, I'm trying to think of like an example, like, who, I don't know. Sometimes I just disagree with that because it's always the people that say funny guys pull usually are like Pete Davidson, where you're like, oh, he could be like a weird runway model in a way. Like, you know, like runway models sometimes are like, well, I don't consider that good looking, but I guess that's weirdly attractive to most people. I guess I'm not going to figure it out today, but
we're never going to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like,
well, do you think they go the distance? You guys were talking about this in this week's episode. Kim seems to be throwing out hints right and left. And I just like, I'm like, Pete, let's think about this. Let's sit down. Like, you know, there's interesting, like the age thing is one thing, but I don't really care about age, but I'm just like, is this going to happen? We're getting a Pete Kim wedding eventually. They're going to move in together.
Listen, we were so wrong from the beginning. We were painfully wrong. You know, we had someone DM us when we were just discussing who Kim's going to date, DM us Pete Davidson, and we audibly laughed at it. And then this happened. So I think that we feel like our center of gravity is a little bit off in this whole relationship. I still am not prepared to say I think they're in it for the long haul. However, I will say they have gone far longer and more serious than I ever expected. Because if you would have told me that Pete Davidson, that Kim Kardashian would like him enough that he was accompanying her for her Marilyn Monroe Met Gala moment, that is something that is marked in time forever. And he is the one next to her. That's huge for Kim. To me, that's bigger than introducing him to the kids. Like, he's cemented next to you. That's a massive.
Well, and that was the funniest video when he was wearing the double hat next to her. And she was like, take off the hat, you know? And I was like, that is very Kim to me. But what I find so fascinating though, too, I always think with Pete, it adds up to right place, right time as well. If she had not been with Kanye for all of those years, like if you get anybody out, if like, that's why I always say like, if like you get Pete after, like, Pete makes dibs attractive now. And I was like, oh my God, like, come out with me. I'll get you Doritos. I'll get you, like, I mean, like, you're going to freak out if this is what your jam is. Cause I will normalize the, like, she goes, I went to a Rite Aid and got ice cream because Pete wanted it. It's amazing. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, these are things that I'm ashamed of. And Pete's just running out there doing, and you love it because she was with Kanye for that whole time. Like, I mean, that I think is a huge part of that attraction too, is that Pete's still relatively normal.
Totally.
Comparatively.
Oh, I mean, the simplicity of Pete, I think, is so appealing to her. Honestly, I know we're both like you, Julie. I want you to, we have so much to say on this. You go first.
No, we have this conversation all the time where Pete is very clearly an overcorrection for what her relationship with Kanye was, but not in a bad way. Like, when Kim was crying in that last season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, where she was saying how she just, like, felt like she couldn't do it with Kanye anymore. And she said, I have all of the big things, like everything that's just the biggest thing I have, that she's like, I have none of the little stuff. Enter Pete. And it's like her entire relationship with him makes sense when you listen to her complaints about Kanye, because everything that she felt like she was lacking, she now has with Pete. Like, when she talks about the dibs thing, it was so minor, but it was so, so exactly what she was looking for. Like, all she wanted was to be able to say something that she liked that was like a really tiny little thing that probably would have gone right over Kanye's head. And instead of that happening, Pete not only listened to her, but got her dibs and then made sure they were there when she got there. And
it was hysterical because in the DR, as Kim says, the Dominican Republic, they're at this nice fancy dinner with her friends. And she's like, just bring me my dibs, please. Like, it was like this kind of thing of like, I would rather dibs than a fancy $1 million dessert. You know, I was, right. And I think there's this weird, if I think too deeply about it, which I do, I think there's this also connection with her father there too, of like pre-fame, of pre, like, she used to go to Rite Aid. She used to do these things. And the fact that she could potentially still have that life. I find it hard to believe that Pete and her share a love of skincare, though. Do we believe this?
I think she's made it too much of a thing to necessarily think she's lying, but I still have a hard time envisioning it. He does not seem like the guy that's going to walk me through a 9-step routine.
But also how lucky that it's like she tells us this on the week of her own skincare launch.
I know. Yeah, I know. One could call it naive. I just believe Kim. When Kim talks, I listen.
He did say it in the episode. I will give her that.
She didn't say anything, but the episode came out 2 weeks before the skincare launch. So I felt like this was all like
loaded.
She said, and I was really on this on the recap, was she said, I fell asleep at 8:30 and Kim woke, like, I woke up and Pete had put in pimple cream on my nose because he's just that sweet. First off, I was like, I can't envision Pete at 8:30. Does he get to like play on his phone while you're asleep? Like, is he just there looking at your face? And then he goes, and then you're telling me Kim Kardashian does not wake up with somebody putting cream on a nose. Like, I was like, there's something I just want to, like, I just couldn't picture Pete in bed at 8:30 going like, well, shit, like, what were they watching? I need more details. Okay. To switch completely, what's going on with the Barbie movie, you guys? Where are we at on the bar? I feel like I've seen this movie. The photos coming out are insane. I feel like the Barbie movie is just seems like insane. Do you guys have any opinion about the Greta Gerwig Barbie movie yet with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling?
You know, I wouldn't say that I have as strong of a reaction as I'm sensing you have. I will say that
I'm very scared with your reaction, sir. Yeah.
I loved the photos. Those photos that we got today of them filming. Ryan Gosling has never done it for me. He does absolutely nothing for me, but Margot Robbie does it for me. Like, I just find her to be breathtaking. I love just watching.
She's like a bright shining light.
Yeah. She's like a work of art to me. So I think I just enjoy like watching her in that role, but no, I wouldn't say I'm blown away by it. Yeah. What about you, Joel?
I always base on whether I like something, not on like the actual thing, but on Twitter during the thing. And so like, I don't know if I necessarily am like, I have to see this movie. It's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, but I am constantly like, I have to see what Twitter is saying about this movie.
Yeah. Like, I love the fodder behind it. Like, it works on another level. Doesn't even matter if the movie's good or not. At this point, we get these pictures, which is like a whole nother. I mean, it's kind of like the Instagram account you guys run. Like, it's that thing of like, I want to see celebrities comment on other celebrities' pictures and laugh at that. Do you guys have 10 more minutes?
Yes, totally.
Okay. When you first started this, was that the initial thing of like, I like watching celebrities comment on other celebrities? Was it that simple?
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand, I know it's like hard to remember, but if you go back to 2017, this didn't exist. We never got to see celebrities' comments. I mean, I obviously explained this to you last time I was on your show, but for anybody who's unfamiliar, the reason we started the account was because of an Instagram algorithm change. Because if you remember back in the day when Kim would Instagram, if there were 10,000 comments, the blue checkmark comments were mixed in with the rest. So you never saw these small interactions. And we eventually ended up having Charles, who's now become one of our close friends, Charles Porch from Instagram, on the podcast. And he explained to us how the reason they initially made that change was because they wanted celebrities and verified figures to be able to see what their friends were saying. Meanwhile, they made that change and we as the spectators, you know, as the public got to see that now. So that was initially the reason we started, because we're like, holy shit, there's this whole world of commentary happening online that we're now privy to. And we just wanted to document that for people and have it in one spot. Never did we envision that it was going to grow into this, where it's really become, I mean, a form of humanization. And I think in so many ways, such a form of comedy. Initially, it was almost just like wanting to see what was going on.
Do you feel the same way, Julie?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think while we're on the subject, one of the comments that made us start the account was a Scott Disick on a Courtney picture. Like it traces back, like it's been, you know, Instagram has gone through a lot of changes. And I think the way that celebrities present themselves on social media have gone through a lot of changes, but at the core of it, like it feels very status quo. And so much of that was just our interest in celebrities, what they were saying to each other, what they were talking about. And, you know, something that we always say about Keeping Up the Kardashians and the Kardashians is like, we don't get this with celebrities. Like we don't get the behind the scenes like this. And there was something about Instagram comments where it was like, oh, we kind of get a little bit of the behind the scenes now.
It's just brilliant in this weird way that I can't, I mean, I don't even know if I can express it, but it makes you happy, but it also makes you laugh, but it also kind of frustrates you at times. It runs the gamut of human emotions, these comments sometimes. Like I like even like the, you know, you had Zendaya today and her cover and people, you know, it's not always like this gotcha funny thing. Like there's like sweet moments with other celebrities. There's really fun, you know, like it really does run the gamut like all of humanity does.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, not that all roads lead to Kim and Pete, but just for a second to bring it back to that. I
think they might. Yeah.
Thank you.
I would say that one of the times, because I would say our account goes through different eras in terms of the way that we think about it and, you know, what the public's reaction was. I would say when our account really had the most steam, or one of the times, was during the Ariana and Pete days. Because if you remember, he was on Instagram at the time and they were going back and forth. They had Harry Potter jokes. It was, I think, him or her that said, like, I'm going to slither in, you know, all that stuff. And we posted it and it was a huge deal and it went viral. And could you imagine, hypothetically speaking, if Pete then starts to reinvigorate his Instagram presence, as he did momentarily and then got out of it. But if he really did,
poor friend was posting for him for a second. I was like, oh no.
Right.
You got this SNL writer.
I know. I know. But imagine a Kim and Pete Instagram interaction, what that would do. I mean, that would be mind blowing.
That could heal this country. That's that could actually be, I would give that the power of the Supreme Court. I'm like, they now decide rulings on their Instagram comments. Like it is one of those things that it's like the last bastion of like sometimes joy, I think, in this world is that like, okay, are celebrities okay? Are we, do you feel good about being a celebrity still? Do you want to keep doing this? Like I sometimes get worried about the health of pop culture, because it's everywhere and it dilutes certain things. And that's why it's weird to have a family like the Kardashians that just, you know, it sucks up all the air. It's like all the air. They keep multiplying. So then it's like, you got the Taylor army, you got the Kardashian army, you got the Will Smith army, there's like all these different celebrity factions, not to even count TikTok and all of that stuff. It's just really interesting. As we wrap up here, the Harry Styles, though, you were talking about this Harry Styles, I got to say, like, I love to just make fun of people that are better looking and more talented than me. So already I was like, I don't like this guy. But then I saw him at Coachella and I was like, oh, this kid, you know, I never had a 1D phase. But I was like, oh, he's truly amazing. I disagree with you though, Julie. I think you were the one saying that you don't think him and Olivia are going to, like, I think they're definitely getting the house together. I think they're definitely, you were talking all about, I think it was you that were talking about this, that you don't think they're fully as serious as we believe.
No, I do think that they are. I just personally have a hard time seeing it, but I also like know people who have been in the same room with them that say like 100%, like they are fully in this for the long haul. So I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't have a strong opinion one way or another. I'm not like, they're never going to make it, or like 100% they'll get married. I'll bet my life on it.
But Julie from Comments by Celebs says she dislikes the Harry Olivia Wilde relationship. This is a full quote. No, no, I was cracking up because you were talking about going through, like, you know, learning the TikTok and the Harry phases and stuff. You were like, long hair Harry phase was because you were talking about when he was dating Kendall Jenner. And a lot of people think that was a fake relationship, by the way, which I always find fascinating. But the Kendall Jenner thing, it's just so, like, I just don't, even with the Devin Booker breakup, don't care. Like, I don't know. It's like magically don't care. Like, weird.
That's what we were saying, that for people who live and breathe the Kardashians, we are strangely apathetic to Kendall. But the thing is, that's how she wants it. She has somehow hacked the system to be able to be a Kardashian Jenner, benefit from it, have all of the fame, all of the resources, all of the financial benefits. At the same time, she exists in a far more private element than any of them. So kudos to her. I think that us saying we're not invested in her breakup is probably the biggest compliment you could give her. I swear, I'm not.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, I completely agree. In fact, you even saw Kendall on her heels a little bit with the new iteration of the show. Like the first episode, she was like, hey guys, it's me. I bet you wonder why I'm not in the show that much. I was sick. And it was like the most gregarious I've ever seen Kendall Jenner, where I was like, who told you to amp it up for this like talking head? I'd never seen her that excited to be on camera before. And eventually that fell away throughout the season. But I agreed with you. I think, Julie, that you were saying that I could never picture Harry, the Harry that I seem to have studied now and known, the artistry. And I say that with no embarrassment, the artistry that I think he has. I find it hard to then marry that with Kendall. And I know she fancies herself a deep thinker and a health nut, but it just, those two things didn't seem like they would combine in any sort of way.
I could see them being friends. Like, I could see them having a really good friendship nowadays. I can't necessarily see a romantic element anymore based on who they are. But like I said, I could have seen it at the time when they were supposedly dating. But also, like, I could also see them getting back together. Like, if you told me, like I said, this is my point. Like, just purely aesthetically, like, if you told me that Harry Styles, one of the best looking people that ever walked the planet, and Kendall Jenner, one of the best looking people to ever walk the planet, decided to get together, I would be like, okay, obviously I can't be like, no way, that's the craziest. Like, yeah, I could believe it.
Come on, at the end of the day, aesthetics, I mean, only go so far. Like, you're like, oh, if you're good looking, you have to legally be with another good looking person. Like, I mean, that's hard for me to, unless I was, I'm just pissed for myself, but it's like, you can't just go like, I think personality even gets involved with these good looking people. I just don't think they're an insanely good looking, they should be together ever again.
Well, no, I'm not saying they should be. I'm just saying if you told me it happened, I wouldn't be like, no, there's no way. Like, I could believe it. I'm not saying I want it. I could believe it.
Well, we pretty much, I would say, like, our biggest criticism is that we agree too much. And that's the thing we disagreed on today's episode, because I was like, I cannot see, I don't get it. Now that I'm starting to see Harry more on TikTok and understand how they meshed. It makes no sense to me. But
yeah, I love how much the Harry is entangled in the pop culture, because you have the Harry with Taylor era, you have the Harry with, and I just sometimes think with Olivia Wilde, she must be a very secure person, even going on with all the Jason Sudeikis things, but just the fervor. Like, I live in LA and they have this Harry's House pop-up shop, and it was like miles long each day I would drive past it. And I was like, that is so many people saying they would lay down their lives for like one night with Harry Styles. I can't imagine what that's like for a woman on the other end, like a brilliant woman. Obviously, I can't wait to see her movie, but like, that's gotta be wild.
We were just having this conversation. I think that she is in a very unique position, and I really think she can take it. Remember, you were saying that, you were like, it's because to me, it's true. It to me personally, that is my worst nightmare. I know I could never handle that. Like, yes. I forget it. I just think, honestly, I think she's finding this time so empowering for her. I think at this stage in her life, and she's like, I'm fucking on tour with Harry. Yes, she's obviously a celebrity. She's wildly successful in her own right. No part of me makes his success, that's not my point. I just think that there's something about this relationship that she's finding very, very empowering. I really do.
And Jason Sudeikis, I mean, you know, he's riding high with Ted Lasso. Like, this was probably the last thing he could have seen coming from, like, imagine, like, he's like, finally, man, SNL, like, I'm riding high. And then Harry's like, I even think that's a guy's worst nightmare. Like, that would be my worst nightmare. Like, Harry Styles is all of a sudden around your girlfriend or your wife. Like, that'd be horrible.
Well, that's what we were saying on the podcast, where I was like, we were basically having a discussion of like the timeline of Olivia and Jason breaking up, like changes almost your entire view of the relationship. Because on one hand, it's like, yep. if they broke up and then Harry came along, it's like, okay, that makes sense. Like they garnered a relationship. If they were together and Harry came along and broke up their marriage, essentially, like that is a whole other different dedication to what she's going through, both in breaking up a marriage and also having to deal with his fans. Like, to me, that means like you're in it for the long haul. Like if you're putting up with both of those things, you're in it for the long haul. But we were also saying, like Emma made the point and she was like, you know, if somebody's able to come along and kind of break your marriage up in that way, then like obviously there was cracks in the foundation from the start. And I was like, you know what? Yes and no. Like if somebody's going to break up a perfect marriage, it's going to be Harry Styles. Like I said, Harry Styles could walk into my grandparents' apartment tomorrow. They've been married for 5 years. They've been together since they were in fifth grade. They have the most beautiful love story you've ever heard. I think if Harry Styles walked into my grandparents' apartment, my Nana would be like, listen, this was great. And we had a good run.
We had a good run. I want good things for you. Yeah, I could totally see that. Finally, you guys are pop culture geniuses. You love, celebrity photos. All of these things mean so much, I think, to us. Is there one photo or moment for me? I always use the example of a So Bad It's Good moment of like Solange coming out of the elevator with Beyonce and Jay-Z, knowing that we'll never truly know what happened in there. But we have this photo where Jay-Z looks a little shell-shocked and Beyonce and Solange kind of looking proud and stuff. Is there a paparazzi shot or something that just sticks in your mind because, you know, just of the story it might tell?
I think that would be your answer, wouldn't it?
I don't know if I necessarily would have said that, but I, now that you're saying it there, I don't even think there could possibly be another answer.
That's the Holy Grail, I guess.
No, that's the Holy Grail. Forget it. Are you kidding me?
But there's so many great pop culture moments. So there I think you're going to be thinking about this tonight. If you do have any retraction or anything.
I thought of a good one, good one, just so that we have different answers. The iconic photo of Nicole Kidman after signing the Tom Cruise divorce papers.
Oh, wait, is that Skipping, the Skipping one?
Yeah.
That is genius. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is a great one. That is amazing. The Tom Cruise's aunts is very interesting. Anyways, I could talk to you women forever. You guys are I geek out so hard about what you do. I hate that it's probably going to be another year until I talk to you again, but thank you so much. And it was such a pleasure to meet you, Julie. I didn't even get to ask how the Ultimate Girls Trip premiere was, or that you were actually at Simon Huck's wedding, all of this good stuff that I never got to ask, but hopefully you'll come back down the line some other time. But as a pop culture fan, thank you both for your service. Truly amazing. And Emma, the voice, Emma, you got to do voiceovers. This is like it's like ASMR. So it's and Julie, you're amazing too. I remembered last. I was like, anyways, I'm gushing. Is there anything else that's coming up that we need to know about, or ways that we can support you? Even though I think you kind of are already at the top of the heap, you know.
First of all, no, just thank you so much for having us. Seriously, we are so appreciative. I find every time that I speak to you, and I know this is part of your shtick and you are very self-deprecating in your humor, but I want to say we are also fans of what you do and don't have that, you know, be lost on any of this. And you have a lot of people that are very dedicated, because when I pointed out on the last week's episode that I, you know, need a co-host for next week, we got a lot of DMs of people saying, holy shit, you need
Ryan. And I didn't make it? You like, no, we're not doing Ryan. Are you kidding me?
This is for next
week. Slap in the face, Emma.
Hold on. Let me continue, which is to say there's a very good chance that in about 2 days, I'm going to be calling you and saying, can you come on next week?
Oh my God, this is the big break, you guys. This is the one. Well, I will drop everything to ever record with any of you girls. Like really, truly, I really admire what you guys do and what you've built. And remember, guys, they do 3 shows a week, and I hate to say it, like you don't even need to listen to this one, because they got pop culture, they got Kardashians, they've got Bravo, and Bravo, remember, is with Isabel, and it is just the gamut. Truly, what a great day for me. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, Ryan. We love talking to you. Thank you so much, really.
Bye.
Betches.